This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Tech Talk. Over the past few months, weeks, years, we've been talking about AI and how it could potentially be taking over a whole bunch of people's jobs, including radio announcers, believe it or not. There is technology out there right now that can essentially copy my voice and give you a facsimile of exactly how I sound. A little bit scary, but there are also AI and voice bots involved in things like F&B and customer service. And I'll be speaking right now with Simone Macario. He is from Vox, thevoxasia.com. And what they do is they're a conversational AI startup. They work with brands such as A&W, O'Brien's, to collect orders through conversations, including WhatsApp automated ordering, in-store voice activation, and all some very interesting stuff. Welcome to the show, Simone.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for hosting me.
My absolute pleasure. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Just a question. Are you real or you are one of our AIs?
Right now, I think I'm kind of in between the two. I'm using so much technology nowadays that often I have to question myself. Now, Simone, tell me a little bit about the beginning of Vox. How did it start and why?
Right. We started Vox a year ago. And, first of all, I have to say I come from a very strong AI background. I was focusing on predictive analysis before as a managing director of a European group of companies. I was handling the Southeast Asian market. And eventually, after a three-year career in that company, I came across this conversational AI that for me was looking like the next big thing. And eventually, I started to collect information, talking with friends, and one day I sit up at a restaurant with one of my co-founders, who is a very skilled senior manager who founded in Malaysia Kuskapi Berhad, probably listed company that focus on the F&B industry, providing PO systems. And we were discussing about how conversational AI could eventually disrupt the F&B industry. And after a talk, we decided to start up this this journey at Vox.
As simple as that. A simple conversation in a restaurant ends up with a company being started just like that.
Indeed, just like that. Of course, we went through a few months of preparation before deciding to kick off. But eventually, here we are. After a year, I would say we got a great starting.
And do you focus entirely on F&B right now?
Currently, yes. I thought we are very open to explore different other verticals, such as retail, hospitality, or even travel. But our current customer portfolio is in the F&B. So we solve specific problems related to this industry.
Right. Now, tell me about some of the problems then that you've encountered, or rather the spark that kind of led you to go down this road. I mean, you said you had an interest in this conversational AI, but there must have been something that kind of said to you, this needs to be disrupted. What was that moment? Do you remember?
Right. So, conversational AI is not a very new industry, I will tell you the truth. And it is still considered a niche. But studies in terms of conversational AI has been happening within university and also corporate environment for the past 30 years. So the reason that it's booming just in this precise, specific historical period is due to the fact that we have reached a certain level of data generation point and the computing power that are able to create algorithm enough sophisticated to manage conversation and learn about language. So I would say we are in a very important historical period where eventually both computer and data in our hands are able to handle and process this information, conversational informations. Why conversational AI? Why now? I explain, but why F&B industry? I have yet to tell. And the reason is, for sure, pandemic is affecting a lot F&B industry. As we saw, we have good conglomerates of companies that are reducing the staff, the salary in order to keep the operation ongoing. But I think what I perceive that is the biggest challenge for the F&B industry now is indeed the digitalization and removing the middleman from the customer acquisition. And eventually, when I say middleman, I refer to the big food delivery apps that for sure they generate a lot of volumes, but from the other part, they affect a lot of the P&L of F&B verticals, restaurant chains, and so on. High fees in exchange of consumers that actually they were already supposed to be loyal to brands. And so on.
How much pushback do you expect to see or feel rather from some of these larger delivery brands or F&B delivery companies? How much kind of competition almost do you expect?
Right. So rather than competition, I would say that we don't see that this food app as a real competitor of us. We are acting on a different customer segmentation. They're focusing on creating volume and acquiring customer. Indeed, most of their budget is allocated to marketing activities and support the logistic part, while we focus more on the retention. So we target only loyal customers. In the F&B industry, when it comes to retail chain, the real asset that they have compared with a single store, standalone store, is the value of their brand. Is how consumers recognize themselves within a logo, a name, and so on. And what we are trying to do is supporting retail chain to leverage on their brand awareness to engage with the customer without the intermediation of these food apps. So you, as a retail chain, you can still, of course, join the benefit of having new customer coming from a volume generator engine, which is a food app. But from the other side, you want to engage with the loyal one in a very direct way without disintermediation or paying for this intermediation, right? When you order, I would make a we propose some names without trying to advertise them. But when you place an order for your favorite McDonald's meal through to the GrabFood or the Foodpanda and so on, eventually you're not a McDonald's customer, you become a GrabFood customer, right?
Correct, yes.
We are trying to see the other way around. So where we give the possibility to consumer to engage directly with McDonald's if they want to.
Indeed. Do you see yourself as working alongside larger brands, or are you kind of open to getting on board with SMEs and MSMEs?
Right. Currently, we are targeting retail chains only. The reason is that adopting AI is not necessarily expensive, but there are some upfront costs that only retail chains are able to bear at this current status. But for the next few years, we have a plan to make this as more affordable as possible, also for supporting SMEs.
Okay. Simone, let's just take a short break here, and we'll come back and we'll have a little bit more of a chat, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm on the phone line with Simone Macario. He is from Vox. They help organizations across the private and public sector on automating processes with the adoption of artificial intelligence. They partner with clients and drive digital transformation by analyzing data and creating conversational experiences, amplifying engagement and interactions. More on that in a few moments. Tune into Tech Talk here on BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Tech Talk. I'm on the phone with Simone Macario from Vox. They are Malaysia's number one conversational AI startup. They work with brands, some large brands here, to collect orders through conversations, WhatsApp automated ordering, in-store voice activated ordering, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Simone, again, thank you very much for hanging on the phone line with me. Now,
thank you, Richard.
One thing that I want to talk to you about, obviously, is we've seen over the past couple of years, well, I say couple of years, it feels like the past couple of years, 18 months or so, this movement first of the reliance of food ordering applications or, you know, food delivery services, which was great for the beginning of the pandemic. And I think a lot of people relied right. quite heavily on it. And then over the last few months, we've kind of seen this pushback and this kind of action by a lot of the smaller companies trying to gain customer attention and almost pull away from companies like Grab and Foodpanda because they believe they're not making a lot of money because of the cost of one thing or another. How do you feel about that? And how do you look at that in terms of your brand?
Right. Well, personally, I see it as an opportunity for companies like ours that are trying to give an alternative to F&B chains for acquiring and engaging with the consumer. So eventually, as we were saying before, food apps might be an opportunity to create volumes, but on the long run might not benefit a lot the company economics. You have to think that in F&B chains, especially on the fast food, you have about 30 to 35% of food costs, and then you have 30% on utilities, rental. Another 30% it goes on the HR, the staffs, and all the people involved in the operation. If you have to pay an additional 30, 25, or sometimes if you're lucky, 22% of commission, food apps, at the end of the day, you might suffer a bit.
Yes, for sure. Can we talk a little bit then about the tech and the kind of the algorithms and how much went right. how much research went into the creation of these bots?
Right. So actually, we are very new on the market. We spent a full year on the research and development to create our own technology in house. So meaning that we try to leverage on third party application as low as possible. The reason is that we are creating a user journey that is very specific for this vertical. And we were not able to find anything in the market that was able to match our customer needs, so which is the merchant. So we developed our own technology in-house. And eventually, yes, we are a team of software engineer, data engineer, but mainly, I would say, data scientists, because at the core of artificial intelligence, we always find the science of data, right?
Yes.
To teach engines how to speak. In our case, we spend our daily job is to talk with to teach computer how to communicate with human, to adopt a language, a
yeah.
tone, and eventually understand every intention behind the sentences that we analyze.
And that's something really interesting that I like to talk about. Natural language understanding and natural language processing. How fast has the training been, and how do you go about training your actual algorithms? How much data are you feeding it, and where is that data coming from?
Right. So this was our first challenge, I have to say, because for the F&B industry, there was not much data in the market. What we had to do is to give some example to our AI. So we were feeding the AI with data that were mainly generated from us. And then we open up the technology to our merchant partners, and eventually we run in a POC before going fully on production. The reason
right.
is that as you name, for training AI, it doesn't take a lot of time, but it takes a lot of data, I would say. And
yeah.
I'm talking about a thousand or hundred of even million information that needs to go through the AI before saying that the accuracy is enough high to identify precisely a specific intent. So we started gradually, and of course we went to a process that is called conversational design, also to give the AI an idea about how the certain path of within an argument could go through. We give as much as example as possible, and then we pick up from there. And currently, what is the state? Well, actually, is a machine learning process. So eventually, every conversation that are also happening in real time in this moment are contributing to make the AI more and more intelligent and skilled.
I'm just imagining thousands of flowcharts in your office.
Correct. Yeah, a lot. That's our daily bread, I would say. Yeah, you have, when you think about machine learning, you have to, or deep learning also in our case, you have to...
You have to almost imagine every single outcome, almost every single scenario.
More than outcome, you have to validate the outcome, but you have to give a lot of example to AI to learn. It's like teaching a kid, of a 4 years old kid, to speak. The approach is not about telling a kid what is a subject or a verb or an object is. You don't want to have a grammatical approach in terms of teaching a language. You have to feed the kid of example, repeating what is a chair is and giving example of many chairs. And eventually he will understand it. He will start to say chair when he sees one.
Are you doing it entirely in English, or is it this in Bahasa as well?
Currently we support English and Malaysian mixed English. We are moving to multi-language, but this is a big channel for AI to talk a few languages at the same time. What I'm trying to say is that talking different languages in different environment is doable, and it's something that we already support. What we are trying to do next is to allow the user to start with a language and in a second moment decided to skip to a second one. That's a bit more challenging.
Is there support for, let's say I'm trying to order something using the WhatsApp AI, for example.
Yeah.
And I feel as though the AI is not getting what I'm trying to say. Is there a way of actually being able to get through to a human being, should I need to?
You don't need to, because eventually the accuracy of the AI is not high to identify what is your intent. And we are talking about, of course, users that engage with the system with the intent of ordering something. So the bunch of FAQ that might happen or conversation that can happen are always targeted to support the consumer to purchase something. But this is one of the things that we support. Eventually, you know, we have also curious people that try to engage the system, saying, how are you, where are you from, and having a very casual conversation. But you would be surprised. Also, those cases are supported.
Uh-huh. What do you think, Simone, have been the biggest challenges for you so far?
So far, the biggest challenge, I wouldn't even say that are AI related. It's about the domain that we work, which is very less digitalized, and also there's not very high or deep know-how in terms of technological understanding from the current F&B industry. They're still working, you know, when you're, let's say, McDonald's, Domino's, you're specialized on doing burgers, you're doing pizzas, you're not a tech savvy or, you know, So that part is about teaching them how an AI can benefit their business, how to adopt it. That is the biggest challenge at the moment.
Yeah, the kind of if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of model, which we see a lot of. Okay, final question before I let you go. I'd imagine this wasn't the cheapest of projects, and I imagine there's quite a bit of funding required for something like this.
Indeed.
How did you manage to go around for to raise capital for this, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, sure. Well, at the beginning, we bootstrapped it as any startups. I would say we needed to bring an MVP in front of the investor before being able to raise fund. And eventually, we succeeded on closing our first round of investment early this December, with the aim of validating with the market the technology and deploying our solution, which is happened to be last May. And since then, we are online and we are registering a fantastic, astonishing number, I have to say. So we closed the first round of angel investment, and now just recently we open up a new one, a seed round that aims to enhance the technology and bring it to provide a voice activation in-store experience, with the idea for us that eventually one day we will really replace the cash assist of the waiter within a store. Not willing to take anyone's job, but to supporting F&B chains and also consumer on enhancing the experience.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Thank you very much for your time today, Simone.
Thank you, Richard.
It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. That was Simone Macario from Vox. They are Malaysia's number one conversational AI startup, working with some of the biggest brands here in Malaysia to collect orders through conversations and WhatsApp automated ordering eventually in-store voice activation, ordering, all kinds of very cool stuff. If you missed any part of this interview, don't forget you can download the podcast. It's available via the BFM app, or you can go to our website, www.bfm.my, and listen back at your leisure. For Tech Talk, I'm Richard Bradbury here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.